The weather is finally warming up and spring is in full swing. The transitional weather makes this the perfect time to get baking, at least before summer kicks in and the kitchen gets too hot. That's why we decided to ask Smitten Kitchen's Deb Perlman to stop by and share her favorite springtime baking recipes with us. From rhubarb upside down spice cake to strawberry custard tarts, Deb Perlman is the creator of the award-winning blog Smitten Kitchen and the author of two cookbooks, and most recently, Smitten Kitchen Every Day, published by Alfred A. Knope. Welcome back to the show, Deb!
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Oh my God, thank you for being had.
Yay!
I just love all your videos.
Thank you so much.
I mean, your voice is very calming yet instructive. You always have like a manicure, which I appreciate.
Oh, don't look right now. See,
this don't look at mine either.
Today's a radio day. It doesn't matter.
But I just I feel like you make good cooking feel easy.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love it.
I appreciate that. Hope so.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite springtime baked treats?
You know, I don't know. It's like all of a sudden they're stuffed worth eating again. Mm. I mean, not that it previously stopped me from eating, but it was more, it's more like there's the suggestion of strawberries and then there's rhubarb, which again is like maybe not, well, it's not even a fruit, but let's not get into that. But it's
no,
so
let's
good
get into it. What is a rhubarb?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things we call fruit, you know, that are vegetables, but it's just, I think it's semantics. We treat it like a fruit. So it's a stalk with leaves at the end. And it's generally, some people think we just get excited about it because it's like the first spring thing.
Right.
I like it because it's like kind of pink and green and shiny. And I like pink and green and shiny things.
Right.
But I also like it because it's really tart. You know, here in the Northeast, we don't grow things like lemons. And so you have this natural sort of acidity to it, which is so good with sugar. It has a complexity that a really, really sweet fruit doesn't. And it's super good in pies and stuff.
Oh, it's so good. Do you think rhubarb and cranberry would be too much tart on tart action?
I think it would be really good. And I think that like cranberry is like the rhubarb vibe of the like the dead of winter, like, well, the late fall. So they basically, I think they do the same thing in baked goods where they provide like a really pretty color.
Right.
Rhubarb can sometimes be a little more gray.
We won't judge rhubarb.
Well, because like red plus green plus like a little bit of white can sometimes be a little bit beige. But, you know, it depends on.
Oh my God, you're blowing my mind. I'm literally trying to add all those colors together. Why do you think rhubarb is such a good ingredient for pies and cakes?
I think it has a natural, it softens quickly.
Okay.
It kind of, some people don't like the sort of slumpiness of it, but it cooks pretty fast. Like usually within 20, 25 minutes in the oven, it's like, it's juicy and it really, as I said, it takes really well to sugar.
Right.
And like usually if you were making a berry pie, you would add like lemon or lime or something to kind of balance out the natural sweetness. And you don't really need to there. You would just add sugar and I think it has a lot of complexity. You often see it paired with strawberries.
Yes.
Because they're sort of like the next thing out of the ground. And it's very,
God, you're like a little farmer. I love this. Okay. So your rhubarb upside down spice cake calls for an oven proof skillet, like a cast iron.
I mean, I was doing that to make it easier, but you can, of course, use a cake pan. I just sort of feel like more people might have frying pans than...
No, I have a cast iron, and I only use it for, like, a steak or a fish. So
get
really
the steak smell out of there. Make sure it doesn't smell too bacony. That might be good, too. But...
Oh, that's so. Do you like? Do you still heat it up with oil?
Yeah. So you make a little sugar butter situation, and then you lay in some rhubarb stalks that you've sort of trimmed down if they're really big, and then you pour the cake batter on top. It's just a very simple one bowl cake, but I like doing a spice cake with it in this recipe because I feel like as soon as we get into, so
are we talking five spice, nutmeg? Where are we going?
We're thinking
cardamom,
like cinnamon, nutmeg. You can absolutely throw in any spices you like, but I feel like when you do like summery and spring fruits, you don't usually think of spices. Usually we think of that with like fall baking, but I think it's still kind of like a little crisp out. So it's nice having that cinnamon, nutmeg kind of aroma coming out of the kitchen.
Just listening to you talk right now about this, I just want to rent a house in the Catskills.
Oh my God.
Yes. Get on a hammock, have a piece of pie, be like the pioneer woman.
Yeah. Let's do like the pioneer woman with like a lot less square footage.
That's
how I roll in the East Village. It's the pioneer woman with like a 90th of the space.
I love it. So how do you taste test? Are you just kind of just mixing and you just have concoctions in your kitchen? Like, how does this go?
I kind of wing it a lot of the time. I generally get like, I'm like, I really want to make this today and I'll try a version of it. And I tend to look at previous recipes I've made, previous formulas, and then I kind of tweak it to what I want it to do. And I kind of write like a best case scenario of how I hope it will work.
Okay.
So I do a lot of research before I get in the kitchen. I'm not like a, I'm in the kitchen, let me go mix some stuff up and just see what happens at all. I'm way too analytical. So I tend to write like a best case scenario and then I go in the kitchen and I try it out and it either works and I'm like, look at me, I must be very good at this. But more often it doesn't. And then I have like a little tantrum, but we eat it anyway. And then I either come back to it if I'm feeling very resilient, like in a couple days, or sometimes I'll just be like, I'll try this again next rhubarb season and I'll totally table it for a long time.
Oh man, poor rhubarbs. So I'm really curious, do you use lard in your pie crust or shortening or butter? And what's, I'm always confused. And when I make pies, people always ask, and I always want to be like, I don't know what the difference
it's
is.
It's like picking a religion. It's like crazy. Like it's like you're wrong. No matter you're wrong.
Spiritual.
It's getting really crazy. Yes. Like, yeah, no. So, I mean, I think it has to do with a little bit where you're from, but also, I don't know. I do all butter. It is probably not the lightest and the flakiest of the fats, but I'm all about the flavor.
And you do unsalted butter?
I do unsalted butter, but there's really no reason you can't use salt. Just drop the salt in it. And of course, I think that it builds in. I think when you use salted butter, you actually get a little more depth of flavor because it almost like cures the butter a little bit. So it's not just the same thing as like unsalted butter plus salt. But most recipes call for unsalted butter because salted butter isn't consistently salted and bakers tend to be like very persnickety about levels of everything. Mm-hmm. And so it allows more control. But in your own kitchen, if you have salted butter, it's fine. It'll be good.
Good, because I don't want to send my husband back to the store. Hey, everyone, I'm Michelle Butone. This is Midday, and I'm hanging out with Deb Perlman, who most recently just wrote Smitten Kitchen Every Day, which now I'm obsessed. I hope you're my new friend.
I want to be friends.
So I am married to a Dutch guy, and when we got married, you know, it was his first American wedding. Like, he doesn't even watch rom-coms. He has no idea what. And so we got a package deal because we were broke. And the venue came with a cake, and we had to do cake tasting. He didn't like any of the cakes. And Dutch people are very particular about their pastries and cakes. And he said, I just want pies.
Wow.
I just want apple pies. And I'm like, not for 250 people, honey.
Did you do it?
No,
did you do Dutch?
I didn't.
Do you know? Not to mention, you know, I have a website.
No, let's drop that website.
Let's drop that in there. No, I did a Dutch apple pie this year.
I tried
my best. I was really intimidated by it. I think I did it last fall.
With the crumbs on top?
With the crumbs on
top.
I did it with the lattice on top.
Yeah, okay, so that is proper Dutch because I'm learning the crumbs are more like a Dutch American thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have been trying to make it up to him and baking pies almost every month since.
I think you should try my recipe.
I would love to try your recipe.
So I did all this research and I basically learned that if you look on American websites, what we call Dutch apple pie is just like a deep dish pie with crumbs. That's not what Dutch people call Dutch apple pie.
Yes.
It's very different. It's usually made in a springform pan and it's very deep and it almost always has raisins in it, which are often plumped in booze.
Bourbon and raisins.
It's
always in my cabinet.
It's so good together. And the crust is not this like persnickety American flaky pie crust. It's actually more like a shortbread dough. It's cookie-ish and the dough is pretty sweet. There's a good amount of sugar in it for a pie, but the filling is less sweet.
Yes, more savory.
And it's just, what the nice thing is with this cookie-ish crust is that you can really like, I don't know, it's like a cookie holding a pie.
Yes.
It's very happy.
It's very thick. It's tall. And they love, my husband is no Gordon Ramsay, but he's just very particular. And I bought whipped cream out of a can for the first time. And he's giving me the look you are giving me now, which is just pure and utter shame.
Oh, no.
And then I had to get a new hand mixer because my boo likes fresh whipped cream. And God forbid if I don't put the sugar and a little lemon zest in that whipped cream.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. He's hardcore.
He's hardcore.
So you can tell him that my next door neighbor, the building next door, but it's New York. It's the same idea. She's Dutch and she gave me all of her little tips.
Oh,
she says
nice.
And she explained that it's really more of a cake over there.
Okay.
So but it's actually really hard to mess up. I tried very hard and it's really hard to mess up. And that makes me feel good putting the recipe out there.
Exactly. You know what I did one time? Big mistake. I made a pie for his birthday and I put it in the fridge overnight with the filling on the crust. Do you know what I mean?
You'd baked it?
Yes.
Oh, did it get a little soft?
It got soggy. How do I, and strawberry pies too. Like, how do I just not make it soggy?
It's so hard, especially the American style pie. You're like really fighting it. One thing you can do is you can pre-cook the filling a little bit on the stove with the cornstarch or whatever.
Ooh, a flash bake. That's what they say on, what is that show on in England again?
Oh, is it Great British Bake Off?
Yes.
Oh, can we just do a fan episode of
Great
British
Bake Off? Oh my God,
we could
talk
about nothing
else. Audie Mark, get set, break!
And they're hilarious. They're
so
good.
They're so good.
I want to be there when I grow up.
And I don't know if I watch British Bake Off, and I just wish in America we just had more holidays that had specific desserts.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, what do you do for 4th of July?
I think we're... This is the right way to say it, but I feel like we're much more of a melting pot here, and we have so much more complex. There's no single American culture. We have things that a lot of Americans are super into.
Yes.
We love Cheetos, for example. We love hamburgers.
Yes.
No, but that was a joke. There's other things. But yeah, so dogs. I think that's why you have this, and of course, you know, it's changing in England too, but that's why it's like, I know, when everyone knew what a Swiss cake roll was.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows. They all know the right way to make it. Or a Victoria sponge.
Oh,
and I hadn't heard of.
No idea.
So much of this.
I mean, and there's also holidays I've never heard of. I don't even know if they're in the history books, but they have a whole tart for it. Whole tart, and it's all out of pistachio.
Oh my God.
Okay, so are you, I saw a couple, so many questions. Okay. I love, my favorite thing is to, at the end of the week, when I have a lot of vegetables in my fridge, mm-hmm. that I can't really use, like I have like 3 broccoli things and like 2 zucchini things, I like to make a quiche.
Oh, good.
I just think it's a fun way to like use all the ingredients.
Plus you can put cheese in it.
Oh my God, yes. Well, that's my next question.
Okay.
What are some of your favorite quiches? Like, what are the tips for quiches?
There's and I don't know it off the top of my head, so mm-hmm. I understand if that means I've failed somehow as a guest, but there's basically a formula of dairy to eggs that causes the eggs to set in a nice, soft way,
mm-hmm.
So it's not too eggy or too milky. And so basically from there, though, you can really add what you want. I've always liked putting the cheese like right against the bottom crust, because I kind of like getting that little thing at the bottom and then sometimes sprinkling a little bit on top.
Yes.
But not in the middle. But I kind of feel like it's, but from there you can just be flexible. I mean, you could, if you're trying to be like low carby, you can, you know, skip the crust and just bake it in an oiled pan,
mm-hmm.
and still get like the cool effect of it. Or you can do it inside a store-bought crust and really going to know.
What kind of dairy are you into for a quiche?
Like fatty things.
Oh,
just
me
really
too.
Rich. I just feel like, but if you're going to do it
just
right.
Just do it. But now, like, you know, I'm sure you host dinner parties and everybody has some sort of, you know, intolerance or allergy. I mean, for Thanksgiving, a Dutch friend of ours called us 2 hours before dinner and told me about his 7 allergies.
What, you can't do that to
you. You have to
do that 2 weeks before.
Yes,
a big
I'm like,
meal.
This is what you can bring. Pecan pie and manners. Who are you? You stop.
It's terrible. So I'm like, I don't have any dietary limitations, except for my own pickiness, but I would never mention it. I would never like, in fact, I'm really embarrassed if I go somewhere and someone says, I remember you don't like this, so I didn't make it. I'm like, shh.
Oh, wow. Well, wait a minute, but what don't you like?
So here's the thing, when you cook for a living, nobody notices how picky you are.
Oh, I know Guy Fieri doesn't like eggs.
What?
Yeah, he'll never eat them on the show. He'll never eat them.
That's so interesting.
The eggs have to be adjacent. Yes.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay, I feel a little better now. I'm
of
feeling
course.
A little better.
You'll
I'm not super into fish. But the fish that I do
really?
Like is like I like clams and mussels and
shellfish
and oysters.
Yeah.
I like the sweet fresh stuff,
bite size perhaps.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's it. And then the larger, more, and I know it's me, I'm missing out. Like, we'll go to a restaurant and my husband and his family will get this like whole baked fish and it looks all crispy and it has herbs and garlic, and I'm
yeah,
that looks so good.
Are we talking about a branzino? That sounds like a
I'm
very...
thinking like the Via Carrata, like they have that salt roasted fish.
Ooh,
and there's
yes.
a couple other places that do it, and it always looks so good, and it's me, it's like I gotta get over it because it really looks so good to me.
I got it. I understand. I can't eat pork, and so it makes me, you know, when people just have bacon for breakfast, I always feel like this used to be my okay, so
like,
I've been with my husband for 10 years. I don't know why it's taken me 10 years to make him a carrot cake. He always asks about carrot cake. I always thought it was harder. I made one and it wasn't that bad.
No.
Why do people think carrot cake is so hard?
I think that carrots can be hard to measure. Because depending on how you grate it mm-hmm. and pack it, you could end up with like a really wet, heavy cake that never bakes through.
Oof.
Or you can... Now, does he like the busy carrot cake with like pineapple chunks and raisins and nuts in it? Or is he Ooh. Like carrot cake classic, just carrots and
He likes crunch in it, and okay. I didn't have any walnuts. And so I just kind of improvised and got a granola bar, like a Kind bar, and I chopped it up and put it in there.
That's brilliant.
I call myself a get a Martha story. But yeah, I mean, so pineapple chunks is great. Wouldn't it be too much wet on wet?
I think if you have the right recipe, it's going to use that for all of the wet. It wouldn't have additional liquid in it. But it's very, it's like, is it called a, not a hummingbird cake. There's sort of this classic sort of thinking like maybe of a morning glory muffin, which has like the fruits, the mixed fruits and the nuts and the carrots. It's like a hippie muffin.
Yeah. Oh, my, the look on your eyes is like so engaging. I want all this. What recipe are you working on now?
A friend brought me, I got these lovely gifts for Mother's Day, and all I remember is, sorry, husband, but that my friend came over with a bag of avocados from Los Angeles.
Oh.
Her mother-in-law has figured out that it's like literally cheaper for her to FedEx them a box than it is to even buy them on the East Coast, and they're all ready to go, and I'm just like, I'm basically, everything's going to have avocado in it for the next 4
days.
Oh
my God. Well, I'm coming over for guacamole. Hopefully that'll be on the menu. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks.
I've been speaking with Deb Perlman, cookbook author and creator of the award-winning Smitten Kitchen food blog.